Well, thank you for your patience with me today. You'll need it. I want to talk to you today about the importance of perspective in what we do and who we are. I think Mark had a slide scrolling before the service that said something like that. It said perspective. We are next, I believe it's next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Is that right? Correct me? Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, as I told you before, was the most hypocritical Sunday on the planet. But it was all a matter of perspective. It was all a matter of what they were seeing, how they were seeing it. So perspective is hugely important. Coming into this Easter week, the Passion Week, how they saw Jesus. Some saw Jesus, how we see Jesus. Their perspective is very important. Perspective runs deeper than the cross. It runs into our daily life. It runs into how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? And how does God see you? How do we see each other? How do we see the Bible? How do you view the Bible? What's your perspective on the Bible? That will play a lot into who we are as a people. You got me another? Thank you, sir. You're a gem. Put that there. There are perspectives that need to be weighed, that need to be thought of. In the workplace, everybody here has worked. You know that sometimes management will make a decision and production will hate it. And they can't see each other's perspective. Production sees the decision from this perspective. Management sees it from this perspective. And all of a sudden, there's a war. Perspective, how we see things. How they saw that basketball game over the weekend. University of Maryland, Baltimore County. How many of you have ever heard of that one? You haven't. They beat the number one seed in the overall tournament, the top dog, the big overall, this little city college that had to play to get into the big dance, beat, not just beat, but by 20 points, beat the big team. This is the upset. There's never been an upset like this in all of history. Depends. Some of you, it's a basketball game. Some of you, what? What are you talking about? Others of us are like, wow, this is amazing. This is unheard of. How did this happen? It's perspective. How do you see things? How do we see each other? In our story of Palm Sunday, next Sunday, I want to prepare you for that. It was a story of perspective. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 11, and I'll show you what I mean. Mark chapter 11, verse 1 is the story of Palm Sunday. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Matter of perspective, this was a king's welcome. This was a king's parade. Typically, he'd be riding on a big white stallion, but this unusual king was riding on a colt of a donkey. But for sure, this was, they were welcoming a king. And it says, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And they were totally expecting him to take the throne of David, to reestablish the kingdom of David at this time. Here he comes. He's done all these miracles. He's an amazing person. He is coming now. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to put Rome at bay. Our king is finally here. And in 5 days, they would kill him on a cross. And it's all a matter of perspective. Their view of him went so far from being a king, welcoming a king, to killing a criminal in 5 days. It's totally a day and a week of perspective. Their perspective so changed so dramatically. They needed to have their first perspective. Perspective is important. John chapter 15, verse 18. It's not that Jesus never tried to tell them this. Jesus tried to tell them all along who he was, what he was, what was going on. This perspective was part of his ministry. It was part of his teaching. And they didn't get it the whole time. I want us to get the proper perspective. John chapter 15, verse 18. Here's a perspective for you and I to understand and live with. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Perspective. You're not of this world. They don't understand you. They won't listen to you. They will dislike or even hate you. Oh, the question for us, that's real important for us. As we become a Christian, a believer, we want to be part of this. We want people to like us. And he's telling us all along, here's the perspective you need to have. You're not of this world. The message you preach is not like this world. And there will be many that don't like you. There will be many that don't want you around them. There'll be many that hate you. Question then is, will I be disillusioned by this? Will I be bummed out with the Christian faith? That's the perspective I have to have as I go out these doors. I love everybody. I want to help them. I want to rescue them, give them the good news. But many are going to hate me. Many are going to not want to hear it. And how am I going to respond? If I have the proper perspective ahead of time, I know what I signed up for. It will help. It will help. Will we respond to the hatred, to the dislike? Will we respond to the argument? Will we respond with fighting back? Will we fight? Will we raise up? Will we, oh, I'll get them out? Is that what we'll do? Or will we, like Jesus, die for them? Die for the very ones who hate us. Will we lay down our life to help the very ones who fight us, who hate us? He told us way ahead of time. This is how it's going to be. That's the perspective you and I need to have. In John chapter 18, verse 33, it really came to a culmination. for Jesus as he was arrested. And this will all take place next week as we celebrate the Passion Week. The perspective will all unfold and it will culminate. John chapter 18, verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and he called Jesus and he said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" So the perspective Jesus gave was all about his kingdom. And he said, "I'm a king, but not of this world. If I was a king of this world, all my soldiers would be fighting you right now. And I've come to bear the truth. It's the truth from my kingdom. It's the truth from heaven. It's the truth from my Father. I've come to declare the truth. Many won't recognize the truth. Many won't submit to the authority." Pilate himself said, "What is truth?" What's true? What is true in this day and age? What is it? So it's perspective. Can you allow yourself to bend, to bow to this king who said, "I'm not a king of this world"? Can you allow yourself to bend, to bow to the truth that he is proclaiming? That is the essence of who we are. We recognize him as our king, but not of this world. And his authority, his truth, we submit to, but it's not of this world. And quite honestly, this world won't receive it. They don't like it. That's the perspective he tried to give his disciples all through his life, all through his teaching, and particularly in this final week. They killed him, asking him, "Who are you?" My perspective is from there. It's not from here. So what is interesting is that you and I, we receive Jesus. We accept Jesus. We accept the cross. You and I, believers, we have said, "I receive it." Okay, I'm okay with that. I receive the cross. I receive Jesus' life on the cross, his death on the cross, his righteousness for mine, traded in for my unrighteousness. I receive that. I accept that. I'll take it in. I get it. And that's good. That's step one. Step two is that this same perspective then goes with us in how we live every day. Every day. And many of us stop at the cross. "Hey, I believe. I'm a believer." But this same perspective moves us every day in every area of our life. How I act. What is the truth? What is the authority that I will live by tomorrow morning when I go to work? When I go home today, when I go home with my wife, the truth, the authority, will I live like I have bowed to his authority and his truth? Will I go to work and when they make fun of me or mock me at work or at school, will I bow to his authority? How will I treat people? How will relationships play out in my life? Will they bow and bend to this same perspective of Jesus? Or will I fight? Will I be just like them? And in essence, I'll become, in a way, an enemy of the cross. When somebody teases and makes fun of me tomorrow, when somebody tells me how stupid I am for believing this old book, will I argue and get mad at them? Or will I die? It plays out in our relationships. And actually, it plays out in the joy I have in my heart, in who I am as a person. I'm a joyful person. I just have this joy. The situation around me may be really stinky. Maybe I just lost my husband a week or so ago. I mean, who knows? But I have this joy inside. It's very unique. It's very odd. Maybe you're healthy. I mean, my health's bad, but isn't it nothing like yours? I mean, in people with bad health, they have every reason just to be. But somehow, this believer that has this perspective has a joy, even when they're carrying oxygen. And when our relationships just aren't clicking right, when we're just not getting along, we can have joy. We love each other. We can come together as family and still love each other. We can agree to disagree. Or we can have a heavenly perspective and just say, you know what? It's not who I am. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And we can have that joy if we have the right perspective. If we carry it with us all the time. The perspective of the Passion Week, the perspective of Palm Sunday, the perspective of the cross. Are you a king? I am a king, but not of this world. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to show you what I just preached to you. I just preached to you Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul writes to this church at Philippi. Philippi, this is what you need to know about Philippi. Philippi was kind of just northeast of what we might know as Greece. Philippi was a Roman colony. Rome was over here, Philippi was here, but it was a Roman colony. You were a citizen of Rome to live here. It was Rome away from Rome. Rome was here, Philippi was here, but it was Rome. It was an outpost of Rome. So this was every bit of Rome that Rome was. It was a Roman colony. You lived in Philippi, but you were a Roman citizen, okay? So Paul's there. Paul, being a Roman citizen, he was arrested and he had the right to rent his own house and live with a soldier. You're under arrest, and if as a Roman citizen in the Roman colony, you had the right to be able, if you could come up with the funds, you could rent, you could own, have your own house instead of being in a Roman prison. You could be in a dwelling if you could make it happen. And the soldier would be there chained with you, and your people would bring you food and clothing and whatever you needed to live, but it would keep you out of the Roman prison. And that's what Paul was. Paul was in a dwelling with a soldier, and they came in and unchained themselves and chained themselves whenever they changed duty, and the churches, the believers, kept bringing him stuff, supplies. And that's why throughout his letters you read, thank you for what you've provided for me. Thank you for your support of me. Thank you for being a part of my ministry. Thank you for this and that. Because they supported him in that. That's Philippi, a Roman colony outside of Rome. So Paul, with that in mind, let me begin reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brothers, and he could be writing to me and you, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even in tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. There's our perspective. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world, but is of another world. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. He just told him, stand right there. Stand firm right there with that perspective. Don't move from that perspective. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a citizen of a colony there. You know, brothers at Philippi, you're Roman citizens. You're a colony from there. But I'm telling you, church, you're not a citizen of the United States. You're a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for him. He's coming back. The king is coming back. And he's going to change our bodies to be like a heavenly body. Stand firm on that perspective. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let your vision get clouded by all that's going on around us. Now, I said that if we have this perspective, it will help us tremendously in our relationships. In our relationships. And he says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. See, there's the perspective again. There's the perspective in our relationships, in our church. See, he's telling two women. There are two women here in this church who are not in agreement. They're disagreeing. And my guess is they're causing some pretty good trouble because he wrote about it and he named them by name. And he's asking his true companion, look, you need to go to these women and tell them to get along, to agree in the Lord. Why? Your names are written in the book of life. Your names are written in the book of life. Remember when I preached from Revelation about all those thrown into the lake of fire whose names aren't in the book of life? He said, ladies, you need to get along. Our citizenship isn't here. Our citizenship is there, and your names together are on the list. You're written in the book of life. Your citizens there, you're going to be together forever. Agree in the Lord. Have this perspective and let it heal this relationship. So the relationship perspective you and I have to have. We could stand up right now and look around this room. And we can say we can love each other. We can love each other. We can get along with each other because your name and my name is in the book of life. And I'm not a citizen of this planet. I'm on an outpost. I'm an outpost of heaven. And I'm here to win a war. But it's not a war of fighting. It's to rescue and redeem and pull as many in to this kingdom as we possibly can. Because there's going to be a really bad day coming when our general comes back from heaven. And there's going to be a final war when he comes back. And we're on the winning side. And right now, I'm an outpost. And you are my fellow workers and soldiers. We're on the same team. If we keep that perspective, it will keep the arguing and the disagreeing and the stupidity really at a minimum in our church, don't you think? If we lose that perspective, then it becomes all about my feelings, my thoughts, what I want, what I think should happen. It becomes about me. It becomes about how I think this church should be run. It becomes about how I think you should act, how you should have treated me, and what I deserve. In essence, we become an enemy of the cross. That's what he says. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross. They believe, they profess that they believe in Jesus Christ, but they're living it out like they're citizens of this planet, like they belong to this world. And they're walking, they're living it out like enemies of the cross. And their end is destruction. They're just going to ruin themselves. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Oh, they love to fight to get their way and their right. And they love to fight like the world. They love to argue like the world. They love to get in the world's mess. And they glory that they stood up for themselves. And nobody's going to walk on them this way. Nobody's going to treat them this way. By golly, in their glory, it should be their shame. Because they're not citizens of this planet. But they walk like an enemy of the cross. And I don't want any of us to do that. I want us to walk like citizens of heaven. Like citizens of heaven. So I told you it will change the perspective of who you are. Who are you? You're a citizen of heaven. Who are you? Oh, I'm nobody, Terry. I don't make that much money. Who are you? Man, things haven't gone well in my life. I've really made a mess of things. Who are you? You're a citizen of heaven is who you are. You wait for your coming King, your Lord and Savior is what you're doing. You're in an outpost. And he says, I want you on my team getting along, bringing people in, rescuing people, helping people, loving people. You're a citizen of heaven. I'm guessing this young man's a citizen of another country from what I heard. That's right. So you understand that he's here with us. He's a citizen of Germany. Amen. And we all sit here as believers in Jesus Christ. We sit here as well citizens of another country. Your citizenship is not here. It'll change your perspective. Change your perspective on relationships. And I told you it'll change your perspective on joy, on rejoicing. All of us, listen to me, all of us have a history. All of us have a background. All of us have baggage. If you live long enough, you're going to have some baggage. Paul says, the very next thing he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. And we love to pluck this little section right out of Philippians, right out of what he's saying, and use it because it's a great passage of Scripture. But he's telling this church, this outpost, these citizens of heaven, he's telling these people in this place, look, number one, get along. All you people that are arguing and fighting and disagreeing, get along. Your name's in the book of life. And he says, look, I know things aren't perfect here in the outpost, but you can have great rejoicing and great joy if you'll pray. Why? Your Savior's at hand. Your Savior's coming. Your Savior's not that far off. Think about your Savior coming and pray to Him. Talk to Him and have joy. Have joy. Wes and Dave are at the kingdom. Wes and Dave are at the kingdom. It doesn't help the hurt. We still hurt. But they're in the kingdom. And we can have joy in our hearts with hurt on the outside. And we can pray and talk to our Lord. And yes, He's coming back and He's bringing our loved ones with Him. With the shout of an angel and the blow of a great trumpet, we'll be caught up with them. Our kingdom's coming. The Lord is at hand. Pray about it. Let your reasonableness be made known. Are you reasonable? Are you reasonable? Can we reason together? Can we talk and agree and get along? Or do we have to fight and make our point and make our way? You walk as an enemy of the cross? Or do you walk as a citizen of heaven? Who are you? That's what Paul was asking these people here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure and lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. That's what he meant when he said, imitate me. He wasn't trying to put himself up. He was saying, listen to my teaching, to what I've been teaching you and showing you. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Imitate me. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you, Yodia and Syntyche. Instead of all this disagreeing and arguing and wanting your own way, acting like this is yours when you're a citizen of heaven, think on these things. Think on Jesus coming back. Think on good things, pure things, right things. Do you love to think about stupid things? Let's ask ourselves that question right now. I love to think about things that I dislike and people I disagree with. And I love to. What do you love to look at on Facebook? Do you love to get into the arguments with the stupid responses and replies? There. Do you love that? Think on these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Will be with you. Sentish and Yodia, the God of peace, will be with you if you start training your mind to think about the beauty of our salvation, the beauty of our Christ, the beauty of our citizenship in heaven, all the beautiful things we have in Christ, in the gospel. Get your mind off of all the stupidity and on to your citizenship in heaven. With this perspective, it heals our relationships. It heals our broken, angry, bitter hearts. It heals everything about us. It heals our church. You won't do this well unless you have this perspective of this. It'll be difficult for you to have the heavenly perspective, to believe you really are a citizen of heaven. Listen, your name is written in the book of life. In Revelation, the last two chapters, he throws everybody into the lake of fire whose name isn't in the book of life. Listen to me. Your name is written in the book of life. Terry, your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. You don't believe it, do you? I just told you your name is written in the book of life, and you sat there like, You don't believe it, do you? See what I'm saying? Is your perspective here? The lake of fire is not yours.
Amen.
Your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
He said it. Crying out loud. If that don't make you rejoice, I don't know what does. If you believe it. If you believe this gospel, he said, your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
All right. Crying out loud, what I got to do to get an amen out of this group. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. This is Passion Week. He had no sooner entered the next day or so. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. They came to him again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, this is their question. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them? Jesus said to them, I'll ask you one question. Answer me and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Now, it's the perspective question. John's baptizing, is this a heaven perspective or is this a man's baptism? Answer me. And they discussed it one with another, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe me? But shall we say from man? They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they said to him, we don't know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you what authority I do these. That's the best story, I think, in the Bible. I love that story. They say, what authority are you? Who are you, Jesus? What is authority? He says, well, answer this. John's baptizing. Is he of heaven or is this a man thing? And they say, well, let me see. If we do this, I don't know. That's perfect because that's true. They didn't give a rip. It was all about them. It was all about them. What's going to work for me? If we say heaven, people, then we're going to say, why aren't you believing him? And if we say of man, then people are going to, what's going to work for us? That's the question you and I have to ask ourselves. When it comes to perspective, you have to ask yourself this. I have to ask myself this. Is this the authority? Is Jesus the authority? Yes, he is. Amen? If so, your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
Thank you. Or, well, let's see what's going to work for me. If I do this, then she will, and he will, and they will. But if I do this, then I can't really, and they will, and the church might, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And you and I do that same dance. We do the same dance. And we got to come back to our perspective. I'm a citizen of heaven. My name is written in the book of life because I believe the gospel. I follow, I walk not as an enemy of the cross. I walk as a citizen. I'm at an outpost here. Man, if we can have that perspective, all these little peddly arguments and stupidity will go away. And is there anybody here who doesn't want a drama-free zone? I do. And you will go out of here with the authority of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, because your name is written in the book of life. No lake of fire for you. Amen. It's your authority. You got to answer that question. Is it? Or aren't you sure? Walk like it is. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the patience of this flock with me groveling through this message. Lord, our names are written in the book of life because we believed in Jesus Christ. How beautiful is that? Thank you. Give us grace to walk as citizens of heaven. Give us grace to love each other like citizens of heaven. Give us grace to live like we're waiting on our King. Give us joy. Give us joy. There is no lake of fire for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day. Thank you.